Pastor Lynn's been talking the last few weeks about what? Slavery was one of them. Spiritual exercise, right? Spiritual exercises, different things like that. And I've been getting a lot of good stuff out of it. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's one of those things that I really do honestly encourage you guys. Let's be taking the things that we're hearing. Let's apply them to our life. Because the principles of God, every single principle of God that's in the Word of God, isn't just God trying to put his thumb on us to take control of our lives, to make us do what he wants to do, right? There's always a blessing attached to it. We serve a God who is absolutely phenomenal, who loves us, who wants us to be successful in life, who wants us to succeed in everything that we do. And I believe that 100%. So when we look at these spiritual principles, sometimes we can take it from a perspective that's very just legalistic, right? That says, well, now if you don't do this, then blah, blah, blah. And that's not the perspective that we should take it from. We literally should take it from the perspective that, man, God wants us to succeed. God wants us to prosper. God wants incredible things for our life. And depending on how we approach God is the way that we're going to receive those principles, right? If it's just like Pastor Lynn talking about servanthood, using the word slavery, and he did that on purpose because slavery is one of those things that's going to get your attention. But if we just approach serving God from the perspective that he's our master, and so we do everything that he says, and he's just going to whip us into shape, and that's the way things are going to be, we're going to approach God differently. Then, man, he is a loving master that wants to see us succeed in life and wants to see great things happen for us. Therefore, we give our life wholeheartedly to him, and we serve him. Amen. Does that make sense? So I just encourage us, let's make sure that we're approaching God from that perspective. It's nothing to do at all with what I'm going to talk about tonight, but there you go. There's your 2 cents to start off with. Super Bowl, everyone's excited. It's over. You don't have to hear it anymore. All right. Well, good. Let's jump in, shall we? Cool. So talking about solitude on Sunday morning, I'm just going to try to kind of parallel and maybe expand a little bit from my own perspective, just share my heart with just a few things that are happening in my own life and just some things that God's really dealing with me on. But solitude is one of those things that I just have to say, I have to work on that. That's one of the areas in my life that I can grow in. I'm one of those guys that my schedule is always full. I'm always doing something, right? If you look at my schedule, you can look 2 weeks out and you'll know exactly what I'm doing at what times and where I don't have free time. It's basically the way that you would look at it, right? And so for me, solitude is one of those things that in my life, I have to put in my schedule those times of solitude, those times with God, those times of God, this is my time where I'm going to get with you and I'm going to hear from you, God, and I'm going to on purpose do that. But when it comes to solitude, I just want to share a few things that I think would be important for us to evaluate in our life. And for me, you guys have, many of you who have been around me for a long time have heard my spiel, if you will, about evaluating our lives, simply being self-aware. I think it's important that we're self-aware people, right? If we're not self-aware, we're going to be the ones who are pointing the fingers, the ones who Jesus said, right, you be the first one to throw to basically those who haven't ever sinned, then you throw the stone. And every single one of us would be the one to say, okay, you're right. When I do look at my life, I don't have it all perfect. I don't all have it worked out, right? So for me, it's important that we can look at ourselves and recognize the areas in life where we need to grow. Am I right? And so one of the things that I do on a regular basis is I try to take a check of my life. Where am I in my life? And I want to just kind of share three things with us today that I think we need to have a checkup on, okay? Three things that if in our life, let me start off by saying this way. One of the prayers for my life is this: God, use me. I want to be used by you. When I wake up in the morning, one of the things that I say is, God, put people in my paths that I can affect. Put people in my paths that I can love on, that I can minister to. Put people in my paths that I can help. And I'll just tell you, in this process, since the beginning of January, of me doing my yearly self-check evaluation that I always do, God's just rocking me in some areas. I'll just be honest with you on that. That God's really just revealing some things to me that are huge, that are affecting my life. And one of those things is, as I'm praying to God and as I'm doing different things, I'm just saying, God, use me. I just want to be used by you. Just show me different things. And one of the things that he revealed to me is, you know what? You're just too darn busy for me to use you. You're just too darn busy for you to do any good for what I have for your life. And so one of the things that I'm recognizing in my life is I say, God, open the door, right? Open the door for me to help people. And it's almost like a smack in the face that says, I'm opening the door all over the place. Are you watching? Are you listening, right? Did you not notice that guy over there that needed help that you walked right on past because you were on your way somewhere else and you were so busy that you didn't even notice it? And so for me, that's one of those things in my life that I want to be aware of those things. I want to be aware that I can very easily just fill up my schedule with great stuff. None of it's bad, right? It's good stuff. It's stuff I filled up my schedule thinking, man, I'm busy. I'm helping people. I'm doing stuff. Everything's good. But then now I have God saying, hey, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And I think these are just some different areas in our life that I think it's important that we check on. Pastor Lynn mentioned the other day in his sermon that God, I loved this statement and it hits me hard. God might be moving heaven and earth to set up a situation or a scenario for you to be able to speak into someone's life. He might do everything in his power to get that one opportunity to where that person walks by you in the store. Are you going to be ready to help that person? Are you going to be so busy focusing on your daily life? And I'm talking to myself here. I'm not trying to just preach to you because I'm preaching to me too. Are you going to be so focused on your daily busyness that you go, oh, no, no, someone else will take care of that. And then you're still praying, God, let me help people, right? Send people into my paths. Maybe it's just me, but I really feel like this is a sermon for all of us tonight that God, use me, but then is it possible that you're walking right on by the scenarios that God wants to use you in? That you're walking right on by maybe those scenarios where God moved heaven and earth to put you involved in someone's life, and because we're too filled up in different areas, or we've got too much happening, or we've got too much going on, that we don't take the time to really do God's will. Could that be the case? And I'm just throwing that out there as a question in our own lives that I think we need to look at. My kind of word that I feel like God is sharing with me for this year is that he wants to do more through me. And I think that's the case for every single person who's in this room. God wants to use you to affect the kingdom of God this year. In 2015, I think God wants to use every person in this room to affect the kingdom of God more than he did in 2014. Am I right? That's just probably the natural process of how God does things. He wants to use you this year more than he used you last year. Amen? But when it comes to that increase that I think is kind of the word that I'm feeling, one of the things that I think we have to understand is in order to increase, sometimes we have to decrease. And let me kind of explain myself in that. I need less of me in my life. You know what I mean by that? I need less of my desire and my stuff and my schedule, and I need more of God's stuff and God's desire and God's schedule. If I truly want to affect the kingdom of God and I'm crying out to God, God, let me be used by you. Let me help people. Let me, you know, affect your ministry, affect your kingdom. One of the things that I have to have less of is the stuff that I want. Does that make sense to everyone? That I have to have less of me and I have to have more of God. And one of the scenarios that I was just thinking of the other day is, and so my wife and I have been married for 10 and a half years and hi, baby. We have a lot of junk in our house, right? Doesn't everyone. But it's amazing that in 10 years, we have a couple of rooms in our basement just filled with junk. And it's well-organized junk. They're in boxes and totes, and it looks all nice, and everything's clean, and everything's good to go. But we just have a ton of junk that I don't even know what's in those bins. I don't even know in 10 years what's in a ton of those bins down there. And I'm thinking to myself, we have these rooms that we don't use in our house. We have these rooms that could be functioning in different ways, and they're doing nothing except for holding a bunch of junk. And I was thinking about that from the perspective of, in our life, God has called us to do things. And we just have a bunch of stuff that's taking up rooms that maybe God wants to be using. And a couple of the things that I want to get into, I'm just going to share for us today, again, three things in our lives that I want to check on, and I'm not even to those spots yet, but Jesus talks about the parable of the talents, right? And I love that parable. That parable for me is a huge parable, because I'm talking about increase, right? And God wants to increase in my life this year. He wants to increase in my ability to affect people. He wants to increase in my ability to in what I do. And he wants to use me for more this year. And I believe that's the word for every single person in this room. But in that, what does that mean? I have things that God's gifted me in. Every person in here has things that God has gifted you in. He's given you talents and abilities and things that he's called you to do that I believe truly, and we say this at Amazing Grace, but God has given you something that only you can do, right? He's going to put you in the paths of people's lives that maybe you might be the only person that might be able to talk to that person at that time that's going to be able to affect that person's life. And so in those scenarios, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready to affect those people's lives, right? And we all know the story of the talents. It's Matthew chapter 25, so I'm not going to read it or go into it. But the whole point of it is the guy goes on a journey. And before he leaves, he gives a couple talents to this guy, and he gives 5 talents to this guy, and he gives 10 talents to this guy. And what happens? A couple of the guys go and double it and increase in their talents and their abilities, right? One of the guys goes and buries it in the sand because he's afraid that he's going to lose it, that he's just going to spend it, right? And so I look at this scenario in my life, and I believe God wants to use us, right? But not only does he want to use us, he wants the stuff that you have the ability to do to increase. He wants to affect more people this year than he did last year in your life, right? And so when God moves heaven and earth for you to affect someone's life, are you going to be ready? And this is a big question for me this year. So for me, I'm just going to throw these 3 areas out to you. Hopefully we'll just rush right through this. Rush is probably not the right word, but we'll go right through this pretty quickly and we'll be good. But number one area of our life that I think we need to look at and check ourselves in and make sure that we're ready to be used by God. Number one is our time. Again, I'm that guy who I'm just going all the time. You very seldom are ever going to see me sit because I just don't sit very often. I just don't enjoy sitting. I'm a mover and I'm a goer. And so for me, when it comes to my schedule, like I already said, I can fill up my schedule with a bunch of stuff really easily. I can very easily just do things and they can look good. And it can be things that, yeah, maybe they're affecting the kingdom of God. Maybe they're good things. For me, one of the things that I really want to get good at is putting things on my calendar that are the will of God and not the will of Rob. Does that make sense to everyone? It's very easy for me to put, this is the will of Rob. This is stuff I enjoy. These are things that I'm going to do. This is stuff that's coming my way, so I'm just going to instantly put it on my calendar and it's going to whatever. But for me, it's important that we check on this stuff. Ephesians 5:15-17, I'll read it real quick here. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do we know what the will of the Lord is in our lives? Because again, it's very easy to just walk around and do stuff. But are we doing things that affect the kingdom of God? Great question to ask ourselves. I'm not saying yes or no for you. That's for you to ask, right? James 4:13-17 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit." Okay, is it bad to make a profit? No, it's not, right? So we're not talking against that here at all. But it says, "Where do you not know, whereas you will not know what happens tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, shall we go and shall we do this or shall we do that? But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Those are some big words right there. If we know we're supposed to be doing something but we're not doing it, James says that it's sin. And for me, that's bold stuff that makes me say, I got to check on my time. Is this something that I just say, hey, this looks pretty good. I can go away for a year to the city and I can make profit. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? You have an opportunity to go away for a year and you're going to make some money. Man, that sounds great. Let's do it. But then James says, is it the will of God? We need to be asking ourselves that question. Jesus himself, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I only do what the Father in heaven asks me to do. And I think that's an important thing that we ask ourselves. We're trying to be more like Jesus, and Jesus himself says, I'm only going to do the will of the Father in heaven, right? And I think about Jesus' life, and this is just stuff popping in my head, but I think about Jesus' life, and I think sometimes we would think, man, he should have gone to the biggest cities and yelled from the rooftops, all of these different kinds of things. But there was times where he would just go to someone's house and sit down with a few people and talk to them. Because he was doing the will of God. And who knows how many people he affected by those couple of people that he was chatting with, right? But sometimes we think, no, we got to think practically here. We got to make sure that we're on here and that we're going here and we're doing that. You know what? Let's be open to hearing from God in our schedule. Amen. We wake up in the morning instead of just, all right, here's my schedule and here's where I'm going and here's what I'm doing. Let's ask the Holy Spirit of God, God, please help me today to know where you want me to go and what you want me to do. Please help me to be able to hear from you today from my schedule. If I just need to wipe out my schedule so that I can affect the kingdom of God today, man, let's be flexible to be able to do that. Let's set up our life to where we can hear from God and we're not so stuck to the structure of whatever's happening that we're not able to fulfill the will of God in our life, right? Sometimes I think structure is so good and structure is so great, but if structure puts you in a spot to where you can't do what you need to do, guess what? It's a bondage, right? Sometimes the things for me, and I'm speaking to myself here, so hopefully I'm not stepping on toes. Sometimes the things that are meant to set you free, i.e. your cell phone, your schedule, the things that are supposed to be there to help you, they become a bondage in your life. And for me, my schedule can be that. This is my schedule, and I'm so busy today, and I got all these things happening, and this is what's going to take place, and blah, 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 and I know for the next 2 weeks exactly where I'm going, what I'm doing, all those kinds of things. I haven't even let God have his ability to work through me in my schedule. Does that make sense to everyone? So for all of us, this is the thing that I think is so important. Check our schedule. Time is the most valuable commodity known to man, right? Once we spend it, it's gone. There's no refunds, right? No returns when it comes to that commodity. It's one of those things that when we spend it, you never get it back. It's gone forever. But sometimes I think we're the most frivolous spenders of our time of any other resource on the face of the planet. We don't recognize that, just like James was saying, it's but a vapor. Your life's going to be gone before you know it. So are we doing things that matter? Are we doing things that affect the kingdom of God? Are we waking up in the morning and saying, God, use me today? Or is it, man, so I know what my schedule's already going to be, and I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing. Does that make sense to everyone? I encourage us today, let's make sure that we're allowing God to use us. Is God maybe wanting to use us, but we're too busy? Number one, and I'll just connect with Pastor Lynn's sermon, number one, to even hear him. Because we've got so much ruckus going on and so many things happening in our lives that we're not even opening up the opportunity for God to be able to speak into our lives, to be able to show us the next spot that he wants us to go, to be able to tell us the next thing that he wants us to do. And then number two, are we so busy in our lives that our schedule is so full that when God puts something in our paths for us to do, do we begin to make excuses that, oh, no, someone else is going to come along and help them? You know, why would you, God, would you want me to give my money to that person? Because all they're going to do is they're going to go off and they're going to spend my money, right? Or all, why would you want me to do that? Because I've got more important things to do. I'm going to go meet with this person. But man, the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords might be just putting that person in your path that could affect future. Amen? So important that we think about these things. God wants to increase our effectiveness in the kingdom of God in 2015. Amen? So we have to look at this stuff. In order for us to do this, we have to refocus some stuff in our lives. And I think one of the ways that we can refocus, one of the things that I would encourage all of us in, is we get this in business. What's the main point? What's our main goal? What's our purpose? What's our vision, right? In a business, if you're not accomplishing your mission statement, you're probably just not doing very well in your business, right? I'll make kind of a point of, all right, so a goal in my business, which I don't have this goal, but is I want to sell 100 candy bars this week, okay? I want to sell 100 candy bars. That's my goal this week, and this is all coming off the fly, so help me out here if it doesn't make any sense. I'll try to make it sense. But I just start, okay, so I'm going to sell 100 candy bars. So I go buy 100 candy bars, and I'm thinking, all right, so now I'm going to market. So I go and I spend all this time making posters about selling my candy bar. Sounds okay, right? And I go and I start, you know, painting things on the walls and doing all these different kinds of things, and I'm going to make my candy bars famous this week, and it's going to be so great. But I never go out and I never sell a candy bar. sounds great. I did all of this marketing and I did all this business stuff and I did all of these different things. I hope this is making sense to anyone in this room right now, but I did all of these things that could make business sense. And I marketed and I did all of this stuff, but I didn't sell any candy bars because I didn't get my butt out of my chair to go out the door to go sell a candy bar. So are we doing things on purpose that are going to actually make a difference? Does that make sense to anyone today? Man, that's a weird illustration. But there you go. 100 candy bars. If you want to sell 100 candy bars, let's get off our tush and let's go sell 100 candy bars. Let's go tell people about our candy bars, okay? There, that's as clear as I'm going to be able to make that. But for us, what is our main purpose? Let's ask ourselves that question in life. For me, here at Amazing Grace Fellowship, I want to refocus my thoughts to what am I called to do? I'm called to affect people, right? I'm called to love on people. What's our vision of Amazing Grace Fellowship? That we help people and then we teach people to help others. That's our whole vision statement. So I say that in my own life, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not helping people, and if I'm not teaching other people how to help others, I'm not affecting the vision of Amazing Grace Fellowship. So if I have a bunch of just fun little things happening, and again, don't get me wrong, I think things are good. But if all I'm doing in my life is just doing all of these little things, but they're not helping people, am I doing the main purpose? Does that make sense to everyone? So for me, it's good to go back and ask the question, evaluate in our lives, remember what the main thing is. I think it was one of the guest speakers we had a couple years ago. He said, let's make the main thing the main thing. And that's a huge revelation to some. Sometimes we make the main thing all the other secondary details in our life. But let's make sure that if we're putting it on our schedule, it's going to affect the main thing. And the main thing is affecting the kingdom of God, helping people, loving people, right? Reaching people. That's what it's all about. Okay? Y'all are looking at me like, let's move on to number two. So I'm going to move on to number two. Number two area that I think that we need to check ourselves in to be available to God in our lives is our finances. Okay, finances. As soon as you talk about finances in the church, everyone sits up straight, everyone gets all tight, and it's like, all right, he's going to start asking for money. I'm not doing that at all tonight. So just I'm going to use Pastor Lynn's terminology. Just loosen your wranglers for just a second. And I don't even know what that means, but we're just going to say that anyway. But, you know, it's okay. Let's talk about money for just a second. When it comes to the Bible, faith is a pretty big subject, right? Faith is talked about a little less than 500 times in the Bible. Prayer is a subject that's huge, right? Prayer is talked about right about 500 times in the Bible. Money, possessions, goods, that's talked about like 2,300 and something times in the Bible. More than any other topic. More than any other subject. So money obviously is an important deal. And why is that? Because it takes money to live, right? It takes money to do anything. It takes money to actually accomplish anything in life. It takes money. But I think sometimes in our money, the way that we look at our money and the way that I spend my money affects the way that we approach the kingdom of God. And I did all of that just then on purpose because let me just share a couple things about money that I think is super important. Luke 12 says that where your treasure is where your heart is, right? Where are we putting our money? But let me go a little bit further than that. Psalms 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Leviticus talks about how that it says a lot of things, and Leviticus is one of those things that probably most people didn't do their devotions in this week, but if you read Leviticus, it multiple times talks about how everything belongs to God. The gold belongs to God, the silver belongs to God, the cattle belong to God, all of the hills belong to God, right? Haggai says that all of the silver and all of the gold in the world belong to God. And I say all that on purpose to say, who owns everything? God owns everything. But we can approach our lives that says that, well, this is my hard-earned money, and I'm going to do what I want with it. Okay, if you want to approach it that way, that's your call, but God's never going to be able to use you. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. When it comes to the finances that God has given us to be stewards over, We're going to go back to the talents. How are we doing at being stewards of the stuff God's given us? Okay. When it comes to the finances that God's given us to be stewards over, I believe he wants to affect the kingdom of God with those finances. I believe God wants to affect the kingdom of God with his finances. Many times we can look at God and just think of gold dust falling from the sky, and that's the way that he's going to provide. Not the way that it works. The principles of God, if you read the word of God, those 2,300 something verses that are in the word of God, guess what? They're talking about stewardship. They're talking about us making sure that we're using the money that God has given us wisely. And the reason behind it, and I'm going to be very bold in saying this, is I believe that when we approach finances from the perspective that God, you own it, it's yours, it's your stuff. Do with me, do with your stuff as you will. The home that I live in is simply God's home. The car that I drive is simply God's car, right? The things that I have in my possession are simply the things that God is allowing me to use in life. If I approach it that it's mine, guess what? I'm going to spend it however I want to spend it. I'm going to do whatever I want with it. But if I approach finances from the perspective that God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you, I would love to just be a good steward of your stuff and allow you to use your stuff to affect the kingdom of God. Guess what? We're going to approach things a little bit differently, aren't we? We're going to approach life a little bit differently. We're going to approach the way that we spend a little differently, the way we save a little differently. Am I right? Pretty tight in here talking about money. I'm going to keep on going. Hopefully that I'm not stepping on too many people's toes. But when it comes to our approach, Jesus himself in Luke 14, says that if you want to be my disciple, you got to get rid of all your possessions. So when we ask that question, does that mean it's not okay to own stuff? I'm just going to throw that out there. I'll pause for a second. A little drama. When it comes to possessions, does that mean you can't own things? Oh, see, we're asking the wrong question instantly. We're instantly already going to the wrong spot. Because it's about the heart. We're already talking about where is our heart in this? Is the heart that I'm going to go buy this stuff and own this stuff for blah, blah, blah? Or is it, God, use me? Right? How are we approaching it? Is it, God, use me? If we wake up in the morning and say, God, use me, but our finances are all tied up in debt or in everything's already out the door, everything's already going somewhere, God might be saying, man, I would love to use you, but you can't afford it, right? Is this pretty tough? This is pretty tough. I think it is, but that's okay. I think it's something that should be something that stretches us, for myself included, for every one of us. Our finances should be one of those things that if it takes finances to do everything, we have to set ourselves up to be used by God in our finances, right? God owns it, right? Proverbs 22:7 says, just as... Gosh, I know this verse and I should know it better than this. But just as the rich rule over the poor, the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, what does that mean? Let me use an example. I go and I'm tied up with a rope in the corner. I can't move. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. And I might be crying out to God, use me. Allow me to be used by you. Guess what? I can't because I'm all tied up. If our finances are all tied up, guess what? The person who we owe is the one who rules us. Because I can't take that money and go do something else with it because I owe them, right? If I owe someone, I can't take that money and be like, no, sorry, bro, it's not yours. It belongs to God, so I got to go do something. God's very clear in the Bible about how we have to pay back our debts, right? God's very clear in the Bible about how we have to make sure that we pay those who we're indebted to. But if we're in such a spot, and I hope this all is clear and making sense to everyone, clear as mud at least, if we're in a spot to where our finances are all tied up in different areas, maybe it's not even debt, maybe it's just a matter of when the money comes in, it's gone. We're not saving, we're not doing. Guess what? When the opportunity comes along to be used by God, we just can't be used by God. And I want to be used by God. And so this is an area in our life. We got to check ourselves and our finances. Can we be used by God? Amen? Whew. Man, good times. I love you guys. All right, I'm just throwing that out. This is all in love. And I'm talking to myself here as well. So how many times are we in the spot to where I think maybe God would want to use us financially, but we're not at a spot that we can be used financially? I'll leave it at that, and we're going to move on, okay? God wants to do great things in our lives, amen? Does money, I'll just say it this way, it takes money. So let's set ourselves up in a way where we can be used, amen? Okay, lastly, number three, we're going to be out of here very soon, and then you guys can all give me a hug or something and tell me it's okay. Throwing that out there. Number three, he wants to use us in our abilities, and we need to check ourselves. Let me explain myself in this. God has given every person in this room giftings and talents and abilities. When we go back to the story of starting right off the bat at the very beginning, we talked about Matthew chapter 25, and that's the story of the talents, right? When it comes to the story of the talents, God expects us to increase. He expects us to not just stay where we are, but to move forward. So if I'm a singer, I'll throw that out there. I'm a singer and I want to make it famous and I want to go do great things. And that's not true at all, by the way. I don't care about that. But that's what I want, okay? That's my goal in life. I sit in my room all day and I read books and I do nothing else. Am I going to accomplish that goal? No. There's things that I can do to grow in my ability. Number one, when I'm 5 years old and I'm singing, I'm not very good, right? If I don't practice and if I don't go and I don't sing and I don't do things, what's going to happen? I'm going to be a five-year-old singer all the rest of my life, pretty much. Does that make sense to everyone? So for me, our ability is something that we have to check. Are we growing in our talents, right? Are we increasing in our ability? The things that God's placed in your life that he's given you, your giftings, the stuff that you can do to affect people's lives, are we growing in those things? Are we the same thing that we were 30 years ago? Because if we're the same thing that we were 30 years ago in those areas, we're not going to be very effective in the kingdom of God. And God might be wanting us to go affect the kingdom of God in such a way that no one else can with the talent and the ability that he's given us, but we're not ready. I'll use another example. I go hunting, okay? And when I go hunting, I take my gun with me, and I wear shorts, and I wear a t-shirt, and I go up in the mountains in November, and I'm ready to kill that elk. Oh, man, I'm going to freeze to death, and I'm not going to be prepared. Number one, if I do see the elk and I shoot it, I don't have my knife with me, right? I don't have a pack to carry it out. I'm going to be hurting. It's going to be a rough scenario. So we might be saying, God, send that elk my direction. I want that big bull, and I'm going to drop it to the ground. Are you ready for it? Does that make sense to everyone? Are you even prepared? Do you have stuff in your pack to even take care of it? We might be saying, God, use me, use me, use me. And he might be saying, bro, you're not even dressed for this thing. What are you talking? I can't take you on this hunt. Is that a weird illustration? I'm going to use it anyway because it visualizes in my mind. I'm a picture person. But you're not even dressed for this thing. You're wearing shorts and flip-flops, and you're planning on going up in the mountains where there's 3 feet of snow, and you're going to walk in that? Right. And so for me, it really is a thing of we have to learn how to be ready, right? Paul talks about how that this is a battle. Being in the Christian walk, it's a battle. Are we ready for the battle? Do we even know how to put our armor on? When the battle comes, are we going to be prepared? Are we just asking God, God, send me, use me, help, let me affect someone's life? And it's like, man, if I send you there, you're going to be an idiot and you're just going to make a fool out of me. And that maybe that's a goofy illustration there too, but let's be honest with ourselves. Are we ready to be used by God? Are we at a spot to be used by God? Are our talents and our abilities and our giftings and the things that God's placed in our life, are we ready? Right? It's a question that every one of us needs to ask. Maybe we need more education, right? Maybe we need more preparation. Maybe we need more tools. We might be saying, God, let me help you build the kingdom of God. And he might be saying, you don't even know what a screwdriver looks like. How are you expecting to build the kingdom of God, right? Again, goofy illustration, but a picture in my life that says, we got to be ready. We can't just expect God to send me. Here I am, send me, when we don't even have the tools to be able to accomplish the job that's ahead of us. Amen? Does this all make sense to everyone? Stuff in my life that I encourage us, let's get the right tools, right? Let's make sure that we're prepared for the battle. Let's make sure we're prepared for the hunt, okay? Let's make sure that when we're sitting there saying, God, I want to be used by you. Number one, our time is available. We're able to be used by God because we've set ourselves up for success. We've set ourselves up in such a way that God can use us financially. We've set ourselves up in such a way that when God says, hey, I'd really like for you to be able to go to Bulgaria, and that's in your heart. Man, I would love to go to Bulgaria. God, send me to Bulgaria. I'd love to be able to go there, and I'd love to be able to help the church and to be able to do different things. And it's like, time goes by. Man, God just didn't provide. Is that how it works? Sometimes I think we can think that way. Well, man, maybe it just wasn't the will of God. I think sometimes in our own lives, we haven't stepped out and done our part in it. Does that make sense to everyone? And the preparation, the getting ready, the making sure we're set, the making sure we've done everything that we can. Paul says, after having done all to stand, then we stand. There's a part that we play in it. And then we can stand and say, God, now I've done everything I can. I'm set up in a spot to where you can use me. Now, God, show me where you want me to go. Help me to know who to affect and what to say and where. And then he can use us. Amen. But if we're tied up in the corner and we've put ourselves there, it's kind of tough to move around. Amen. Hopefully that's not too just tough of a deal on us tonight. But I mean that as an encouragement too. Because God wants to use you. That's the thing that's encouraging. Right? God wants to use every one of us. You're not going to go a week at Amazing Grace Fellowship without hearing God has something for your life. God wants to use you. Jeremiah 29:11, he has an amazing plan for your life. But that plan has details, and we have to line up our life with the plan of God. Cool? All right, cool. Let's pray. I encourage us. Let's set ourselves up for success. Amen.